Hello, everyone, and welcome to Million Dollar Decorating, the only podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. I'm your host, James Swan, and I am thrilled to have you subscribing to the show today. Remember to head over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, to learn more about our family of design enthusiasts. Add your name to our email list, then follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. You'll be part of all the great things that we have going on. And the really great thing that's happening right now is that I get to introduce you to our guest today. Since 1983, he's brought influential clients around the world a universal perspective on taste, attention, style, and service. The Chicago-based firm specializes in classical, contemporary, and eclectic interiors for residences, specialty restaurants, retail, yachts, and private aircrafts. He and his firm have been the recipient of numerous industry awards, including the Lux Gold List for 2017, Top 200 Influencers for 2017, the Home Design Industry, and the prestigious Designer of the Year Award from the Chicago Tribune. His projects garner rave reviews for their use of space, color, and texture, as well as his style and white-gloved client service. Turns out, he's very busy making the world more beautiful. Anthony Michael, welcome to Million Dollar Decorating. Now, take us back, Anthony, and tell us the story of how you fell in love with this crazy business.
So, you know, I can remember Christmas, you know, we're Italian. And so we, you know, we go to midnight mass we have fish and so forth. Well, you know, when I was much younger, and it's hard to believe that I could be very hyperactive, but I was. So they would rather chew glass than take me to church. So I was left behind at my grandmother's house one time, and I decided to take all the plastic step covers off, rearrange the furniture, and it looks so much nicer, you know, because I had never seen furniture that had plastic step covers on it in those ads. You know, people were sitting on fabric, which, I mean, I thought it was odd. Anyway, so you'd think I just killed baby Jesus when they all got home because, you know, everybody just was in uproar over it, the plastic step covers and everything. And I got yelled at, of course. And, you know, it's all good, but I learned. I learned a valuable lesson. Yes, I did.
Don't touch those plastic step
covers. That's right. And don't do any free decorating when you're bored, okay?
That's right.
Exactly.
Get paid or get out.
Exactly. Well,
so at what point, Anthony, did it occur to you that this thing that you loved and that you were so good at and that you enjoyed doing so much could actually be a career?
You know, I have to say, probably when I was in high school, and you know, it was like I was in I think junior year, and I had always was drawn to design and all things design and furniture, and it was the late 70s, and you know, one of the things that was you know, very popular was, like, you know, I don't know if you remember, but Pierre Cardin and, you know, and designer goods just started coming into play, and it was always, you know, I was like, wow, I was enamored with all that, and I found it fascinating, you know, and just even like, when I'd walk into any room, anywhere, I analyze it. I didn't look at the specific things, but I'd look at the rooms for balance, or look for, you know, the furniture, if it was arranged properly, if there was a conversation area or what have you. So, you know, I got my cues from Better Homes and Gardens, and then I discovered Architectural Digest. So I actually have every issue from 1976 on. So, I know, is that crazy or what? Yeah, but I never get bored with it. And, you know, one of the things that I truly love is the fact that I'm blessed in the sense that, you know, inspiration comes to me through the client and through the space. And, you know, just, you know, you just feel it, you know what I mean? And that's what I tell people, either you're passionate about it or you're not. It's not something you can just do, you know what I mean? So,
not do with any sort of brilliance or sparkle about it. That's
absolutely
for sure.
This is true.
So when you think then about this this thing that you connected with at a young age and that you're still passionate about doing, talk to us about the projects that are making you really happy right now.
Well, right now I am currently working on a refit of a 1977 hand-built Hatteras yacht. And this boat, I bought it from the original owners, and it is a refit and restoration. And I'm very fortunate because all the original equipment is still intact. All the original African mahogany is still on board. You know, this is when they built boats before they understood how fiberglass could be lightweight. So these had 13-inch thick hulls. You know, the workmanship is unbelievable. And I bought it from a couple who had bought it brand new, and they were the original owners. And you know how you know you're in a, you know, original owner boat when they have little signs inside every little cabinet saying, like, turn off light or only 5 things, you know, things like that. So it was kind of funny. So anyway, so I'm very passionate about boating and yachting, and I love the complex geometry of a boat. You know, it's you have the hull, you have the curve that you're dealing with. You have, you know, a lot of different things. You have reduced scale in all your you know, furnishings and in built-ins and so forth. You know, you have to, there's not a lot of room for, you know, just beauty. There has to be functionality, and it all has to be done, you know, effortlessly and look effortless. What I'm passionate about with yachts is the old world aspect of it, but in the sense of with all the wood and all it's a floating house, you know, it's amazing, you know? So, I'm restoring this, and I'm bringing it back to its former beauty, but I'm also going to be giving it 21st century amenities, you know, new cooling and heating systems. We're putting in, you know, the cabinetry and the millwork details that will be complementary to the African mahogany that's on board. The boat is, it's one of those boats where you'd look at it and you'd be like, why did he buy this? But I guarantee you, when you see it done, it'll be like one of those things where, wow, I didn't know you could do that. So I'm kind of passionate about, I'm kind of taking the same approach like W Hotels did, in a sense, where I'm creating a boutique type of yacht experience. So, you know, what I'm enjoying about this is this will be a prototype for hopefully another project, if people will see my way with this, because I find that there's an abundance of these older beauties for sale, and they're not built like the boats are today, you know, where there's, yeah, exactly, 97% petroleum products. These boats are hand-built, and then to get something of similar size and quality, you'd have to spend a lot more money. So that's my thing that I'm doing right now that's making me crazy happy. It's making me crazy because every time you turn around, everything is ultra expensive, okay? But it's making me happy. Oh my God. It's like I got a bid the other day for new decking, 400 square feet of decking, right? And teak, $26,000. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, where'd this come from? You know, I know, I couldn't believe it. So needless to say, I'm learning and I'm shopping and I'm enjoying the process. I rarely do any projects for myself. And this is something I'm actually doing for myself. I mean, all my homes I've had, exactly 13 homes I've been in, and I've really never designed anything. I just pull from my warehouse. And it's kind of like, you know, it's like, okay, here's what we're going to live with right now. So I'm very excited about this. So
will we get to see photos when it's all done?
Absolutely. We're going to have June 15th is going to be a launch party. Lux Magazine is sponsoring the event at my yacht club, Chicago Yacht Club. And it'll be, I think it'll be a fun event. So we'll have the yacht park there, and people will be allowed to go on board. And then we have a few vendors that'll be sponsoring, as well as Lux Magazine, as well as who else is fun? Yeah, Chicago Yacht Club. So it's very exciting, and you know, I'm really looking forward to it. And you know, I'm one of these people who I believe in being a little bolder. So I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing to the exterior of the boat because that'll ruin the surprise. Okay. But let's just say I'm not doing it in conventional white. Okay.
I'm intrigued. Completely intrigued. We should come and do a live podcast from the deck of your boat at the launch party.
That'd
That's
be
what
awesome.
We should do.
Oh, wow. That'd be so cool. I'd love that. Yeah, I really would love that.
We'll talk off air about that, but okay. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Well, you know, all right. Oh, I'm sorry. Just one last little teaser on
sure.
that. On the flybridge, which is the top deck, like, you know, you can steer from there, or you can entertain from there, or what have you. And what I found this furniture from Monaco, from the Monaco Yacht Show, and it's lit from within. I'm so excited. I know, I'm so excited about this. I'm like, wow, that'll be cool. So wow. Anyway, all right. So that's your little teaser. That's all you're gonna get.
Well, that's enough. I'm completely intrigued, okay. as I know our listeners are. We'll follow up with more information on that. And who knows? Maybe we will do that. We'll do a live podcast from the deck of your beautiful new boat. Or refinished. Is it refinished?
It's You know what? For whatever reason, in yachting terminology, it's a refit and remodel.
A refit and remodel.
Okay. Right. And I've never, I really never understood the refit word and how that applies, but that's how you have to talk. Otherwise, sailors will make fun of you.
I don't want them to make fun of me or not give them any more ammunition.
It's true.
Well, so Anthony, you clearly sound so passionate about this project and about your work in general, but bring it down to just one thought. What is the very best part of what you get to do every single day?
You know what? I'll tell you. I get the most happiness, satisfaction, and comfort in knowing that I have made a difference in somebody's environment. As I sit here, we have completed now I keep track of this. You ready for this one? 1,127 homes. And wow. That's over a 33-year period. And, you know, I can honestly say I can remember almost all. Okay. But you know, I need a little hint. Okay. But, I'm very fortunate because I right now I'm doing grandchildren of people that I did, you know, back in the '80s, which I'm kind of like, you know, it's really crazy. You know, it's like, you know, I sit there and I go, wait a second, you're how old? I'm like, oh my God. So the transformation that is the most pleasing to me. And I have to tell you, my clients, you know, the way that we install a house, we don't do it piecemeal. Okay. We do the big reveal. So I have your home for a whole week. And I'll tell you, I won't do it any other way because it is the essence of why a client hires you. The thing that I also notice in my clients, a couple of things. Number one, when there's a sense of a sense of cohesiveness in the residence, all other things kind of fall in place. Everybody gets along. The kids don't leave crap everywhere because everything has a place. And there's not chaos. You know what I'm saying? Sure. And you know, sometimes you go to people's homes and you look around and you're like, oh my God, you know, there's nowhere for your eye to rest. And the kids are screaming and the husband this, and they don't have, you know, I mean, there's just, everything is chaotic. And when we put a sense of order to it, it really makes a huge difference. The second part of this is like, I'll give you a little story that recently, we have a client who was living in Peoria, rural Peoria, and they have a son who was entering freshman year of high school. So they decided to buy a home in the North Shore, and they asked me to do it. Their son, freshman, in high school, Stevenson, I can say that, it's ranked one of the top high schools. So one of the things that the son was having problems with was kind of like getting along with, or meeting new friends because he didn't grow up with these kids. He was just kind of a transplant. So the thing that I loved after we installed their house, I was talking to the client. I said, so, you know, I said, Alice, I said, you know, what kind of changes have gone on around here? I said, you know, now that you're in the house and, you know, and you guys have had, you know, been here for a few weeks. She goes, oh, Jonathan. She said, Jonathan has suddenly, he has friends and he's the coolest kid now because, you know, everybody wants to see the playroom and, you know, cause we did a very modern, lower level, right, with games and, you know, there's a real cool, like linear fireplace down there. There's a billiards table that's done and very modern. It's very cool. And these kids, they come over and apparently, you know, they're like, oh my God, you gotta see this, you know? And so he's now become a more popular boy. His self-confidence has gone through the roof. He's much calmer. You know, he's not antagonistic, nor does he leave garbage in the great room or anywhere else. He's got his space. And so exactly. So, you know, I see those type of changes when I give children, you know, their space, or it gives them confidence and helps them, you know, go out and be social, you know? Sure. And so that means a lot to me because, you know, think about the awkwardness when you were a freshman in high school and not knowing anybody from, you know, the neighborhood. Now you've got to make friends and, you know, and on top of it all, you're not Caucasian. Okay. So, you know, and I don't mean it in a bad way. I just mean it in a way that it's, yeah. you know, it's more difficult, you know, and so
more of a challenge.
Exactly. The other thing that I see with my clients, you know, that I love is they have become, you know, very aware of their surroundings. And when I say aware, they now realize and understand the value of balance. They understand the value of good fabrics. They understand why certain things the way I do them, or the lighting is done a certain way, or you know, I try to select fabrics that are you know, that you don't have to worry about. I like carefree, you know. Right. So I put a lot of thought into those things, and you know what? And that makes a difference. I'm not one of these designers who says, "Oh, you must have silk drapes, and that's it, and there's nothing else." No, you know, I mean, I'm going to find the right solution. So I'm more client driven, and that is what I enjoy the most too, because each project is different. I get to live vicariously through my clients.
That is a lot of fun, isn't it?
It is. And you know, and I think of more
springboarding off of that, Anthony,
yes, sir.
Many of our listeners at home aren't going to have an opportunity to work with someone like you, but they'd love to be inspired. They'd love to have some tips or ideas from you on how they could create more beauty in their own home. Talk to our listeners at home and give them some ideas on how they can do just that.
Well, you know, number one, I think that you have to think outside the box. You know, I think you have to zero in at least on one or two very special items that you're very important to you, and kind of build the story around that. So, for example, let's say, you know, you have a painting that you grew up with, or you have a painting that maybe you bought on a special trip, you know, and you're, you know, and every time you look at it, it's one of those things that makes you smile, you feel good about it, you want to see it in your space. So, you know, your cue could be from that painting, say, for example, and you can bring in color tones around it, you know, that complement it. You could then begin to get the idea of, you know, it starts to take on its own life. You know, I always say mix it up, have fun with it, because personalities are unique. You know, and go to resale stores. I have found some great things at resale stores that when you put a new fabric or you put a new finish on, wow. It's like, people are like, where'd you get that? You got that Salvation Army? Yep, I got that at the Salvation Army, you know? And it's kind of fun having things that have a story too. I always believe that when you have a limited budget on things, you have to be very practical in your selections, but don't be so trite as to buy sets or suites of furniture, like the matching coffee table with the two end tables. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's like buying off a mannequin, you know, fashion off a mannequin. And in the same way that you dress, you do your home. For example, you can put together an outfit from H&M and then have a Gucci belt and say a Gucci pair of shoes, right? So the perception is that everything is Gucci. Correct? It's sure. All exactly. So it's all in the packaging. The second thing I think that, you know, people should also take a good look at too is and decide, you know, are you a person who gets tired of things quickly? Do you want to see things change? Maybe you bathe the whole room in just neutral grays or neutral beiges, and then you can change it seasonally with pops of color, you know, bringing it into your artwork, bringing it into pillows, accessories, things like that. You know, above and beyond everything, you should have fun, let your personality shine through, and don't be afraid to be a little different, you know? It's important that you do take that leap, because you're personalizing the space. You're then beginning to see how your personality unfolds in the space. So you can literally walk in the space and say, wow, this really is me, isn't it?
You know exactly who lives in that room, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, speaking of such, something tells me there's no mistaking who lives in your home, right?
Yes. Well, I have a 4-pound Brussels Griffon toy, a dog who is the love of my life, and she runs the household. Okay,
she does,
and her name is Lola, and coincidentally, the boat is being named HRH Lola. So I know, so I'm kind of excited.
Well, what's your favorite room, or maybe more importantly, what's Lola's favorite room in the house?
Well, Lola actually has her own little room, small little space outside of the laundry room. And that's where her carriers are housed, her clothing, and her leashes and harnesses, and all things Lola. And they're drawn at her height so that she can, you know, she feels very connected to it. And she knows if we take a certain bag out, we're going on the airplane. If we take this out, we're going for a walk, you know. She's very good with that. I have to tell you, that little dog is the world to me, and I would have never thought that, you know, that me would be taken over by a 4-pound dog. So you ask what my favorite room is. You know, I'm going to be a little selfish here. It's my master bedroom suite, and I love luxurious sheets. I love, you know, my favorite time to come home is after the cleaning lady's been there and she has the bed all perfectly put together, like the picture, you know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. And I loved, you know, jump in that bed. The sheets are so cool and they're so soft and beautiful. And my lighting in my bedroom is it's softer. I have a mixture of beautiful, pen and ink paintings that I love the intricacy of them. I also have a dressing room that most people would die for. I am a shoe freak. So I have a dressing room that is like a display closet, and everything is organized the way it should be. It's actually, truth be told, it's actually visual display built-ins that were in the Gucci store, and I bought those, and I've made my closet like a store. I know it does.
Of course you have.
I know. I'm horrible. I love shoes. I have every color, every type, every this, and and sometimes I like to just walk in my dressing room and I look at things and see if anything's out of place. You know, then my bathroom. I love a luxurious bathroom. Feel like a spa, and mine is all done in whites and creams, and I have obviously marble and what have you, and the lighting is soft in there, and you know, I rarely get to take a bath, but when I do, I love to put on the candles. I love to enjoy the bathroom the way it is. And I have a Chagall in that bathroom. And, you know, it makes me think. It makes me happy, you know. So,
and at the end of the day, that's what's important, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the bedroom, you know, the thing about the bedroom is that it's completely me, you know, and I always buy one particular little something when I go on a trip, as a, you know, just a reminder of where I've been or what have you. And all those things are contained in my bedroom. And, you know, I have them, you know, so it's, my bedroom is totally a selfish, personal space. So,
as it should
you
be.
Know, so that's absolutely, absolutely. And
I don't think I'd ever leave.
Sometimes I don't. Sometimes if I'm in bed, I just want to stay there, you know, especially with Lola. And if, you know, if it's a bad day out, because, you know, Chicago, we get those cloudy days constantly. Yeah, there's days I'm like, oh God, I don't want to get up, you know, but I have to. I got to make the donuts, you know, but the irony is that I actually have, I have a piece of furniture in there that I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I have a piece from the bruised and reduced section of IKEA. I mean, it's pretty bad when you have to go to the bruised and reduced section of IKEA, okay?
I didn't know they had such a thing.
They do! And I didn't know that either. You know, it's right off of where the where all the stuff is that you pull when you go. Have you ever gone to IKEA?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, when you pull all your... Yeah. Then they have this little room off of there, and it's the bruised and reduced room. And I mean, it's like, I couldn't believe... I'm like, okay, really? I'll go check it out. And I did, and I bought
it.
I did it. I know, it's crazy.
I love it. Give us the very best decorating advice that you have ever heard, Anthony.
Oh, wow. Best decorating advice. Number one, I would say a room, in order for a room to have balance and interest, it should have light, medium, and dark tones, okay? Mm-hmm. And you should always make sure that you have an even balance of those things. You know, when you have an all one shade or one hue room that has no contrast, nothing pops. It's boring. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have life. So that would be the number one thing, is to make sure you have, and for example, you can do, say, white walls with dark stained floor, and then you could do an off-white or a gray or, sofa. And so that way, you know, you can see how those three things you know, would work together.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it gives you interest. Okay. So that's important. Number two, you know, buy the best that you can afford. Don't buy, you taste does not necessarily mean money. And we learn that when I've gone to some people's homes where I'm like, did you measure before you bought that chair? It's like, really? Okay. You know, or you see things that are Herculean, you know, or you see things and you're like, how much did you pay for that? And they'll tell you like $1,500 or whatever. And I'll be like, you know, you could have found something more interesting in vintage or, you know, resale store or what have you. So sure. Keep it unique, you know, and the more unique you keep it, the more fun it is. And it gives us more of a conversation. I mean, think about it. Do you really want to look like you want your home to be all matchy-matchy and like it all just fell out of a furniture store? No, you want your because then that would say that you are a completely boring individual who has no ability to think on your own. When you have a room, you should make it yours, and okay. You know, and have fun with it too. And you know, and don't get hung up. There are no real rules, okay? Other than a coffee table has to be 18 inches from your from the edge of the sofa. That's it.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, exactly.
Some great tips. Very great tips. Thanks for sharing those, Anthony.
Yeah, sure.
Let's do a hypothetical. God forbid it should happen, but if there was a fire at the house tonight, loved ones, animals, that dear little pup is all safe.
Oh, yes.
What is the one object in your home that you would risk the flames to save?
Oh, I have to tell you, and please don't take this the wrong way. I have a Picasso. And I've always joked that's part of my retirement. So that would be the first thing that I would grab
for good reason.
Exactly.
For very good reason. Yes, indeed.
Okay. And I bought it in the most unusual way. I actually I bought it at a resale store, and they had no idea what they had. And
seriously.
You know, do you ever go to resale stores where you know you're like you look at something and you say, wait a second, the framing on here looks good, everything's matched up, this is done well, and so forth. There might be something here. So I bought this. It was in a stairway, and I paid $40 for it. And I I had them knock $5 off because it's $35. So I was like, okay, we take $35. And so, and ironically, I had it at the house, and a friend of mine works for Leslie Hinman. And so he had stopped by and for some other reasons, and he saw the piece, you know, that I had. And he said, you know, do you want me to have that appraised for you? And I said, yeah, sure. I said, I don't think it's anything. I said, I just like it, you know? And so he calls me and he goes, you know, he says, you might want to insure that. And so I was like, what? And so he's like, do you want to run it at auction? I said, you know what? No, I'm not going to run it at auction because it was one of those things where, you know what? This is something I you know, luck gave me, you know what I mean? So it's kind of cool. Sure. So that's what I would say.
All right. That's a good one to grab as you're heading out the door. Give us a book recommendation, Anthony, a book that you think should be on the bookshelf of every design lover that's listening.
Well, you know, actually, I have probably every book known to mankind as it relates to design and decorating. But the book I'm currently enjoying right now is the interiors from Jean-Louis Denois. He did a line for Baker, and I have to tell you, he has impeccable taste. And I love his rooms. I love his aesthetic. I love everything about him and his line of furniture. He designed the Jean de Marie line of furniture that used to be at in Chicago, but it's no longer here. He just did a collection for Baker, and he's very he's like me in a way where we expect our clients to respect our work, you know what I mean, and go with our program, and you know, and lead, and you know. So I like his book.
A good book, an amazing designer, and yes. A great choice. Thank you for sharing that one. We'll post a link to that book in the show notes section so our listeners can click on that and add that book to their library. Anthony, we've come down to the last question. You ready for this one?
Okay.
Let's give this a try. I'm going to paint a picture for you and then get your thoughts.
Okay.
Imagine you woke up tomorrow morning in a brand new world. It's physically identical to the Earth that you know, but you don't know a single soul. You still have all the experience and the knowledge you currently possess. Your food and shelter are taken care of, but your new home is empty. All you have is a laptop, a mobile phone, and about $1,000 in your pocket. What would you do over the next 7 days to begin to decorate your new home?
Well, firstly, I would do a floor plan. Secondly, I would find out where resale stores are, where quarries are for, you know, marble tops or, you know, things like that. Maybe they're chipped or broken, what have you. I'd probably go on Craigslist and look for, you know, some different things, people that want to get rid of things. I'd go to Everything But The House. I only have $1,000, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So $1,000. I'd scour resale stores. I would go to, quarries. I'd go to Restaurant Supply. I would go to, who else? You know, anything that's like a wholesale type of operation that you can buy en masse, you know.
Right.
One of the things that I had designed a restaurant a few years back, and I actually went to Chinatown to find the blue and white, vases and so forth.
Sure.
Because I did an entire wall that was all the same all the way down. And so I needed 50 of them. And so, I found them for $6 a piece. So that's the kind of thing I like to do. I do like to challenge myself with finding things, for a good buy and doing something interesting with them, you know. So that's what I would do.
It sounds like a good place to start. And something tells me it'd be rather chic when you get done with it.
Absolutely. You never sacrifice style.
Exactly. Anthony Michael, what a great joy to get to speak with you today. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no. I you were, there was one thing, there was one question, the design hero. I guess you could use Jean-Louis, but I don't know if you remember Angelo D'Anghia.
Oh, yeah.
That was my first job. And, I have to tell you, that was, there was a master when it comes to, design. So
we may have to speak at length about that. He's a great hero of mine.
Oh,
maybe
right.
We'll do that from the deck of your boat this summer when we come and visit you.
That'd be great. Yeah. I have no problem with that.
Anthony Michael, again, thank you so much for joining us today. We want to say thank you to our subscribers for tuning into the show. None of this means anything if it's not for you. So thanks for supporting the show, helping us to grow by telling your friends. Go over to the website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can catch the notes from today's show. We'll post a link to Anthony's website so you can follow all the great things that he's involved in. We'll post a link to the book that he's recommended. I know you'll want to add that to your library. While you're on our website, click a few buttons. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And finally, and most importantly, remember that it's up to you to make your world more beautiful.